Listen, Brandon here. So glad to see you again. I hope you are watching. I'm here today to encourage you, to ask you to go to YouTube, like our page, subscribe, because one of the reasons we were down, that we didn't put out any podcasts towards the end of last year, is because we were busy working. We were busy working on our new space that I'm sitting in, I'm so proud of. And the only way you can see it is if you go to YouTube. So make sure you go to our YouTube page. It's Dear White Teacher. Like it, subscribe to it, because I know many of you love riding in your car, listening to the podcast, but every blue moon you might want to see us on YouTube so you can see our new space, so you can see our new stage. We put a lot of time and effort into it. It's something that's going to be used by our community. We're going to be teaching kids how to use podcast recording and music production technology. And so we're so proud of it. So make sure you go to our YouTube. We want to get as many subscribers as possible. So help us out. Go over there, subscribe, Dear White Teacher. Thank you so much. And thank you for not only listening, but watching. Peace.
It's not going to take a book. It's going to take experience.
There's no code switching. I'm going to give it to you real. I need you to understand this is what our culture deals with. This is what it's like.
Y'all hold y'all colleague accountable. Y'all put the pressure where they know not in our building, you ain't gonna underserve our kids.
They wasn't prepared to teach urban students.
You got third, fourth grade kid walking in, he's walking in the class like, I don't trust this cat, I don't trust this woman.
Now me being the person that I am, I went to the student.
Yeah.
You need to go to the spaces where they dwell in.
A teacher should have that same mindset.
Right.
Do no harm and promote life.
Go talk to them, go talk to a kid you don't know every day for a month and tell me you don't feel better about coming to school here.
He was like, that's the first time I've like felt seen in a classroom.
You have to recognize who your audience is, who you're teaching. Even that includes the whole family.
We don't just impact for the moment, we impact for eternity.
This is where you get the ins and the outs about the community.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Dear White Teacher. I am pleased again to introduce you to my staff. Last month, I introduced you to my staff at Dreams Academy. And this month, the set looks a little different because it's a bunch of them. And so I'm sitting in this weird chair and they're laughing at me, but it's cool. Go to YouTube, make sure you watch it so you can see it. But I have my staff at Queens Academy, which is our women's extension of Dreams Academy, where we mentor young ladies ages 12 to 16. And so we want to kind of build out the conversation that we had about the young men and why mentoring is so important in our community. And now talk about the ladies and some of the things they grow through. I said that on accident, but it came out, so I went with it. But I'm gonna let you hear from the ladies of Queens Academy and let them introduce themselves, starting to my left.
Hi, y'all. I am Monique Swain. I am one of the lead facilitators.
What do you do, Monique?
I am a teacher. I've been teaching for a little over 15 years at the I Promise School.
What's the I Promise School?
It is the LeBron James School. It is on Market Street.
I just wanted you to tell the people what it was in case you've heard us mention it in other podcasts. Tamika.
Hi, my name is Tamika Hampton. I am one of the facilitators, mentors here at Queens Academy as well.
What do you do?
I am a registered nurse.
So from here on out, everybody tell everybody what they do. So
we got it.
Okay.
Ty.
I'm Taisha Young. I am the photographer for both Dreams and Queens. I don't know why I didn't get the Dreams invite, but you know, that's okay. I also take video clips too, and I help this lovely lady over here, Ari. I help her with the video stuff too. Currently, I am an operations manager. I help to provide transitional housing for homeless felons in Akron.
And Ty really helps lead the facilitation as well. She's being modest, but she has grown from just behind the camera to being very vocal, so I'm very proud to have her here. Everybody get Ty.
Yay!
Naya.
Hi, I'm Naya. I am one of the facilitator for our Eagle Academy location, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. So I talked to the fourth and fifth grade girls at Eagle Academy. sorry, Eagle Elementary. And then what I do, my personal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Whatever you want to share with it, you know, if you don't want to tell all your business, you don't have to.
Gotcha. I work in the special ed department in Akron Public Schools. Well, I don't need to say the location. Okay. And I'm also a girls coordinator for a mentorship organization called Akron Youth Mentorship. And I love that. So, yeah.
All right. I am Ari. I am also one of the mentors or facilitators for Queens Academy. I am an accounting specialist at Allstate. I am a content creator and a small business owner.
Yes.
Tell them about your business.
Oh, so.
I'm giving stuff out. That's a plug.
Right. Okay. Sorry. So I own Black Sheep Beauty, where redefining negative narratives is our lifestyle. We started as a clothing brand, and now we are branching off to motivational speaking and poetry as well under that. So.
Cool. Cool. So I brought all the ladies here today again to kind of just talk about what we do. And so this part is going to be fun for me because I don't actively attend all of the girl sessions because they get deep. They get really inside of what the young ladies need to talk about, need to vent about. And so having me around, it's not necessary. So I'm going to even get to hear about some of the things that I probably get to miss out on or don't know. And so this is going to be a fun conversation. But I just want to get, you know, started. You know, this is called Dear White Teacher, and I am actively using this platform to educate white teachers on some of the things that go on in our community, since many of them have African-American students and sometimes may not know why certain things are happening in the classroom or understand things that are happening at home. And I feel like for us, we get to hear everything that's happening at home, happening, you know, we're aware of what's happening in the community. And so just everybody just jump in where you feel, but you know, let's just start here. Why is Queens Academy an important organization, a program to have for our young ladies? And whoever has an answer, start.
So for me, it's an important organization to have because as a youth growing up, I felt that I didn't have too many people that looked like me and were in the predicaments that I was in growing up to talk to. I feel like sometimes if maybe I would have had that, I would have not made some of the decisions that I've made in my life, in my youth, because I had someone to that was closer in my age and could relate to certain things that I had to mentor me. So that's why I feel like Queens is definitely needed in the community for our youth.
Yeah. I feel like it is such a world of like social media, and I feel like it's easy for youth to become disengaged. You can pretty much do everything online now. And it, and after going through a global pandemic, it's even more disconnected. So I feel like Queens is important because it allows them like to be able to sit next to someone and have a conversation. And they come in not knowing each other and they walk out with different friends that they may have not necessarily made. And they actually have to be themselves. Like we're intentional with breaking their walls down. You can be whomever you want to portray yourself to be on social media, but that's hard to do when you're meeting and seeing people face to face week after week. Your walls are bound to come down. So I feel like it's important to nurture who they really are and let them know that it's important to connect outside of a world of social media.
Yeah.
I think it's good for us too, because we hold them accountable for a lot of the things that they do. A lot of things that they say, their behaviors, and for us, it's different because it comes out of Queens and it goes into their classrooms. It goes into, with their parents. I introduced a child to Queens this time around, and it's funny because they have to see me at school and they have to see me now on Wednesdays all together. And, you know, yesterday she was so ticked off at me, but came to school this morning and her attitude was totally different. It was like, okay, I know Miss Swain's gonna get me here and there, so where do I act up at? So now I need to find a whole new place to do my thing. So I think it's finding ways to hold them accountable for their behaviors, for how they look, for how they present themselves to others, the decisions that they're choosing to make. And then just who they are affecting as well. I think they don't think about that. Like, they don't think about who they affect.
Right, yeah. I definitely agree with that.
I think it's important to have a strong friend for the strong friend. like just in general. And I think for me growing up as the oldest sister, like, you know, I could tell them what to do and I could keep them in order and, you know, help them get ready for school and stuff like that. But I didn't necessarily have that for me. Of course, I had my parents, but somebody a little closer that looked like me just to tell me like, no, this is how you do this, or this is how you speak to people. This is how you speak in front of professionals. That's important. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I guess it's my turn to talk about that. I think Queens is important because now all of the youth are pretty much exposed to, like, influencers. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to grow up to be an influencer. They want to be in front of the camera. They just want to live in that social media world. And I think a lot of our young ladies, they don't get exposed to women who are not influencers. Mm-hmm. They get exposed to so many different opportunities that they may not be able to experience otherwise. I think that's just something that we really need for the young ladies today.
So, like with the social media, you know, the influence thing, what are some of the pressures that you find the girls coming to the sessions talking about, or, you know, saying, I'm dealing with this pressure to be this or this pressure to be this? Like, what is, whether it's social media or just even outside pressures at school, what are some of the things that they come to the sessions that they kind of need to get off their chest or work through?
Physical appearance, definitely. Ooh, I feel like they are in some harsh times. Some girls develop faster than others. Yeah. Some girls don't. So that's the issue. So it's you either underdeveloped or you overdeveloped, and it's trying to find that balance of, you know, you get that attention. And once they get any type of attention, it can fuel them negatively or positively. Yeah. So I feel like they come in with this, you know, how does my hair have to be? Or what shoes do I have to have on? How do I have to dress? I got to dress with the newest fashions or I'm going to get talked about. Or just if I'm eclectic or and outside of the box, then that can be an issue. I could be weird. So I feel like it's a lot of pressure to fit into what
society
or even their peers feel like is cool or it, or, you know, a vibe or whatever. And if they don't, then they have that's that extra weight or pressure, mm-hmm. because you can't make a mistake now in private. You make a mistake or somebody's phone. Right. So I think it's a lot of added pressure to just be whatever anybody else wants them to be.
And piggybacking off that, I mean, we as adults, we fall victim to social media. You see all these beautiful women on social media, these, like, oh my God, they're beautiful, but these people done went and got $10,000 worth of work. All and right. We're like, well, dang, I'm in the gym every day. I'm doing this. Why I don't look like that? So imagine. Babe, you on your way, though, bro. You on your way.
Or just saying, but you get up, like, you know what I mean? Like, you, somebody's whole life.
Yes.
And it's 30 seconds in this clip that is on social media. The highlights of their life. Yeah. So they are mimicking
the bad points on there. The women not going to put when they bloated, when they on their period. When they're not going to put all that.
I knew
that
there was going to be a point where they got weird for me.
But they're not going to put that verse in.
Or even just imperfections.
Yeah, you have our little girls that are. Yeah, our little girls are looking at this like, oh my God, like, that is not real. Baby got cellulite. She got 4 kids. I promise she got cellulite. Baby,
them stretch marks is on her stomach.
Man, they're somewhere. you know, so they have this idealistic of what beauty is, and that's really not what beauty is. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they come in with those unrealistic expectations for themselves. So
yeah, and I feel like they carry their trauma in there too. So then that shapes kind of. It shapes them as well. So I feel like the attention and whatever they get at school too is, you know, they come in with these unresolved traumas and they don't even know what to call it yet. So then they don't know how to maneuver or navigate that yet.
Yeah. So let's even talk about the attention, because when you said attention, I was on my way to even talking about them wanting to always have a boyfriend.
Oh, mm-hmm. Girl.
Like, yes. The attention that they want to get from boys is so sick. And it's like crazy because for me, as a young mom, not anymore, but as a young mom, it scares me for them because they don't even know it. Mm-hmm. So for them to value, to even want to still be a virgin, to even value what they, to not even want to give everything to these guys, and just to get that attention from them, like, they don't know what healthy attention is, mm-hmm. healthy mm-hmm. touches are.
Or boundaries
at all. Maybe you should see the people. I mean, even dealing with eighth grade, literally this week,
this week, I am telling kids, keep your hands off of her. That's not how you touch her. No, she has to go to class. That's not okay. I don't like how that looks. Because they don't know and they don't see healthy relationships, so they think it's okay. Because as a girl with all brothers, babe, you grab my hand the wrong way, they be ready to fight. They're gonna fight. And so when you don't have that and you don't have that person saying to you or saying in your ear, we don't get touched like that. Mm-hmm. That's not how that works. He does not have to grab you. If you don't want to talk, guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to talk. Okay. But they feel like they have to please everyone that they come in contact with, mm-hmm. because what do? On social media, you're pleasing. You're getting dressed. You're getting cute. Mm-hmm. You are a people pleaser at this point. Yeah. And because you are now people pleasing, you don't even please yourself.
Come on. Mm-hmm. That's a bar.
That's a word.
Yeah. You don't, that's though. You know?
Yeah.
So I think it's valuable. Mm-hmm. And when you say the word mentoring, it hits so many different elements of what we do, because even as a teacher, I do more than just teach.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Yes. So as a mentor, which is a teacher, we do more than just mentor. We are parents at some times. Mm-hmm. I am your friend at some times. Like it's funny because even when I talk to the girls, I go from being Miss Swain, mm-hmm. who is at their school, to Miss Monique, mm-hmm. or Monique in itself. Mm-hmm. You know, like...
That's one of my favorite things that I love about Queens, is because it's like they get like the big sister, they get the favorite auntie, yes. they get the mom a little bit, they get the friend, you know what I mean? Yes. Like I think we shift it based on whatever conversation we have and what they need. But I 100%, I think lack of boundaries, I feel like, shapes a lot of what yes. they come in with, is pressure. And I think even as adults, we're learning healthy boundaries mm-hmm. now.
Yes.
So we're trying to tell them now. We're trying to give it to you now so you don't have to be in your 30s trying right. to figure it out.
30s. Right. Baby. Right. That part.
Trying to figure it out. And it's difficult. Like, even just not even from a teacher from boys, but even in their friend groups, it's hard yes. to tell your friend, though.
Yes.
Because I'm afraid she's not going to be my friend anymore. Who am I going to sit with at lunch? Then who, you know what I mean? Like, it's not even knowing that you can stand on a no. You don't have to be angry to say no. It don't have mm-hmm. to be rough for you to say no. You can be gentle and say no, and yes. you can stand firm on your no, and it's not a disservice to anybody but you when you yes. say yes when you don't mean yes. And I think that's a scary thought for them. It's mm. magnified. Like, if I say no,
my whole life is over with.
It's over.
I might as well switch schools and go to homes. You know,
right? Because you're yeah. thinking about it from here on out. Yeah. Like, your mm-hmm. whole day is consumed exactly. with the fact that you said no mm-hmm. to somebody that you love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to reiterate love. That no is a sentence.
It's a sentence.
With a period.
You
got
to
period.
Don't have to explain. With a period. You don't have to explain anything. If you don't feel right, if you don't want to do something, just no. And just leave it at that.
But how do you navigate that when you're in a world you can say no? Well, why? Why are you acting funny? Why are you acting? Are you too good to be our friend now? You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. it's. We know that now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I feel like in a world of middle school, high school girls, or kids in general, when you say no, it's gonna come with, so you have to be securing yourself to stand, why am I saying no, and know when I need to explain, and know when I don't need to explain.
So,
and yes. that's hard to teach.
So I think that goes back to what we do at Queens. We try to give them those affirmations. We try mm-hmm. to, that's something each session that we've done is made sure that they left out with, even if they're not into it, they left out knowing at least one affirmation mm-hmm. that they can say to themselves
Absolutely.
Daily to try to, if no one else is telling you this, you are looking in the mirror and telling yourself that daily. Mm-hmm. Because once again, I didn't have that. I can write a whole book, but we didn't have that. So yeah. it was like, okay, yeah, I look like this. That's me. That's me right. because that's what everybody say I am, you know? Yeah. Right. So it's harder. And I feel like we try to meet the girls where they're at mm-hmm. For the most part. But like you said, we're their mom, their aunt, their friend, whoever they need us to be in that moment. So
that's like a whole cultural nuance thing to where some of our white brothers and sisters may not understand how you become auntie. What's up, cuz? Mm-hmm. You know, and you're not blood related.
Yeah.
But when these kids feel a closeness to you, it's a sign. It's actually a sign of closeness. It's a sign of. It's actually a sign of respect.
Respect. Yeah. Yeah.
You go from Miss Swain. I just said your government on camera. You go from Miss Swain to Auntie Mo.
Yeah.
Or, you know, mm-hmm. All those different things, and so I think that's extremely dope that the girls, you know, feel that affinity towards you all. Talk about the things that you all do. You just mentioned the affirmations. I know you all do journaling. I know you do, I think yoga has came into play. What are some of the, besides those things, what are some of the things you do to build their self-esteem, to build their value in the sessions?
One of my favorite things is, like, I don't know if we have an official name for it, but our intimacy circle. So usually we end the session with a sleepover, and that is the time where we get more vulnerable than we do in our normal sessions, because we're there for an hour and a half and we have a whole night with them. So we are intentional about, we're going to have fun, we're going to laugh and all of that, but there is a dedicated time that we're all in this circle, and if the topic changes based on whatever we feel like is needed or something that one of the girls says, and we just have organic conversation. But what the last one that comes to mind is, we talked about something that you love about yourself that is not physical, something that is intangible. And you had to go around in this circle with your sisters now at this point by the end of the session, and we watched how easy or hard it was for some of them to point out something that was intangible. Because you can say, oh, I like my eyes, or I like my, you know, my shape, or I like whatever, but something that you love about yourself that you can't physically touch, that was more difficult. And then it sparked more conversation. So I think that's one of our favorite things to help build self-esteem, because what it realized, I believe Tamika told a story about her complexion, and we had some beautiful dark-skinned girls, and they just felt like, wow, like they felt
like
seen.
You went through that too?
You know what I mean? Because they think, and at their age, I'm the only one going through it. And to hear each other talk about the things that they have been through, it kind of like softened them and had them open up. So the next girl who went was a little bit more open, because I just heard her talk about, or cry, you know, even. And it was never a shame. They didn't laugh at it. You know what I mean? Because girls can be silly at that age. Yeah. They didn't laugh at each other. They supported each other. And I think that was one of the things, that my favorite things that we do that helps with their self-esteem.
I piggyback on that. I like that. I didn't even think about that. My other thing is, we haven't done it in the last session or so, but when we show that video of that baby girl and she is getting her hair braided, and she says I'm ugly, or something like that.
She's like three.
She's like a 3-year old girl.
She's so young, and she already has
these. She's dark skinned. She has little girl is beautiful,
absolutely,
but she already has these negative connotations about herself, and it's like, who is putting that in a 3-year old's mind?
And then when the lady who's braiding her hair starts to affirm her, she cries.
She starts crying.
That emotion that you feel as a 3-year old when somebody's affirming you, it was crazy.
So that means somebody has broke this baby down at 3 years old. And at 3 years old, between 3 and 12, by the time that we get them, they have dealt with all of this trauma that they have had put on them by others who were so unhappy and insecure with themselves.
Come on, right?
And they put it on that baby. Yeah. So not only am I carrying my weight, but I'm carrying your weight because of what you went through.
Yeah.
And that's not fair. And that's what produces these broken females and males. I mean, that's honestly why we have the generation that we have right now, is due to trauma being built upon and crosses that's not meant for people to bear.
So our independent program is girls 12 to 16, but Naya, you work at the school with 4th and 5th grade girls, so they a little younger. Do you experience the same issues and same challenges with them?
Not quite the same issues, but along the same lines. Like, a lot of them don't value themselves quite yet. They value what they wear, what they can put on, what they can show you. What they can do, rather than like what's actually on the inside of them. And one of the things I do some Fridays, I just let them talk, because I've learned that you may not have been allowed to talk this freely in front of some people. So sometimes learning the value of your own voice is super important.
That's it.
So like when they just talk and be like, well, I don't like this about they just begin to open up. It sometimes opens a can of worms. But but sometimes, like, it's freeing for them to just be able to speak freely and not have anybody tell them, you can't say that. Boundaries there, right. But not tell them you can't say that, you can't think like that, but to think how they think and be like, oh, an adult hears me, an adult sees me, an adult values me, and they just, that builds relationship, and it's so, it's freeing for me, shoot.
And, like, and you building that relationship allows you to get to places within that child that others may not be able to
touch.
Yeah.
So what do we tell a teacher? I think you just said something so amazing, talking about the value of your voice to where these kids, they go to school every day, because school is, you know, what we do is, what, 90 minutes a week, but they're spending 8 hours a day in these classrooms with these one, two, or three individuals, and I'm sure they feel like they don't have a voice.
Yeah.
What do we say to a teacher that doesn't even know or understand the urban black child to what strategy is there to even give them to say, you know, let this young lady know she has a voice in your classroom?
I think there's boundaries, of course, like I said, but maybe even stepping to the side and letting them speak freely, not getting mad because of the words they use, because of the slang they use, because this is how their parents talk to them. This is how their auntie, uncle, cousin, this is how they talk at home. So you have to, at some point, we gotta kind of let it not be anger, but just listen. And of course, it will have to probably be in a separate space so that it doesn't get too crazy of a storm in front of everybody. But just listening, like, I'm not gonna be angry because you cussed at me, because you said a certain word, or because you called somebody, that this is our space. And that is what is gonna build your relationship every time. Every single time, because I work in a school building too. Now my kids are nonverbal, but there are other kids in the building, I didn't even know they knew I was a teacher there, that'll come down and talk to me. But it's because I'm gonna let you talk freely. Now I'm gonna set some boundaries, like, okay. But they know what they can and can't say, and they'll still respect me, but still be heard.
I agree. I think when you, so I've dealt with fifth graders, I've dealt with sixth graders, I deal with my seventh graders and eighth graders, so 5 to 8 right now that I'm with all the time. They see me all the time. And it is really what you allow them to do and what you don't get upset about.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything should be made major.
Absolutely.
Because I stump my toe, I may cuss. Not cussing at you, I just said it. So when they get to the point, and you can see the change within the relationship with the children, they will begin to say, oh my God, I'm so sorry, Miss Wayne. I didn't mean to say that in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't mean it. Oh, I didn't. And you see it changing. One thing I do with my kids, I believe in journaling. And I believe in journaling because that is your own private time. But what I say to them is, this is your journal. Yes, it may get graded or it may get looked at in this moment, but say what you want. And you should see the kids, even the eighth grader, say, I can cuss in my journal. I don't care what you say in that journal. That's, you know, it's not something that we are going to always read. And the freedom to be able to, one, write, because they don't write anymore, because they're totally texting a lot and all the time.
Yeah.
It creates that moment. So they're writing now. They are now using their creativity to express what they need to say. They are learning words to say, because a lot of them can't even formulate words to be able to get it from here to their paper.
Mm-hmm.
So we're now creating words for them. And that right there opens up doors for them, because they are now able to feel like comfortable with being comfortable with their teacher.
Yes.
I also, there's moments that I will check a kid in a hot second. Mm-hmm. But then I also tell you, you know what? I love you. I need you to know that I love you. And I need you to know that I am doing this because we don't act like this in front of everybody else. As a black kid, baby, they don't see you like I see you. These conversations have to be had with my kids, because they'd be like, well, Miss Wayne, it's just, you know, baby, I see you. You good. But sorry, this white teacher does not see you like that.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot say that to her.
Right.
You cannot say that to him. Why? Because it offends them in a different way than it offends me.
Right.
So they don't see it the same. And I tell teachers all the time, build a relationship. What does a relationship look like to you with your students? But you have to know that at the beginning of the year as a teacher, what do I want my classroom to look like?
Mm-hmm.
What do I want my students to see me as? What do I want them to value for me? Because I've told my kids all the time, a lot of time respect is not always given. Disrespect is. Mm-hmm. And your disrespect lets me know if we're going to have a respectful moment or not. Don't apologize. Change behavior makes the difference. So if you're coming, oh, I'm so sorry. No, change your behavior. Then we can talk. It's been many a days, and they'd be like, well, don't be petty, Miss Wayne. No, you were rude, so I'm not talking to you today. When you feel like you want to come back and have a conversation, you can apologize, and then we'll go from there. You are setting the boundary with that kid to say, hey, we're not about to be disrespectful. We're not going to do this. But it creates in them a moment to say, okay, you know what? This ain't the same as my other teachers. Mm-hmm. Or this isn't the same as what we used to have. And so they begin to want to be better. They're challenging themselves to do better. And when they do that, it creates relationships.
For sure.
But I think that they comes don't because see you both, like, what I'm hearing you both say is that you are intentional with creating, like, authentic ways to relate to them because you care about them, right? Yeah. So I feel like it's easier for a kid to want to be different when they feel like they have a safe space, even absolutely. In the classroom with the teacher. Mm-hmm. So you allowing them that free time to talk, that's their version of a safe space. Or you saying, mm-hmm. I see you, but let's reel it in. Let me correct you in love. Mm-hmm. So I feel like teachers who don't, you know, or who want to connect with Black students, they need to find a way to authentically relate to their, they have to want to.
Authentically
relate. Yes. Like, don't. Because you know you can be condescending or mm-hmm. you ask questions out of curiosity more than you really want to get to know them. So I feel like really wanting to know who you're teaching and how they need to be taught, mm-hmm. I think that's going to put them walls down every time.
Every
time. For sure.
Every
time. For sure.
So you just said a word that I like talking about. And I know you all have to do it when the girls come. But how do you create safe spaces for them to feel that freedom, to feel that they are able to be vulnerable? And I think it begins with authenticity to know that this person is not being someone they are not, or, you know, trying to manipulate me into something else. But how do you go about create, especially in school, how do you create a safe space in school, which is a place that Black children fundamentally don't want to be at?
I think for us outside of school, what we do is the girls know our stories.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Granted, as a teacher, that's you it. Can't sit there and divulge your whole life to every student, but you have to get some type of personable level. Like with my daughter and my son, the teachers that ring out in my mind were the teachers who got to know us. Mm-hmm. They got to know my child, the children, I should say. They got to know us as a family. Like, you know, it's not personal, but hey, you had such and such that other day. How did that go for you? Like, they're invested. Or a quick email, hey, so-and-so did great at whatever they did today. Yeah. So I feel I don't want to hear from you just when things are bad. Yeah. Let me know when my child has done something great as well. Hey, so-and-so, I'm about to call your mom because I saw what you just did. I'm going to let her know what you just did. That was really good. It's that give and take of not only meeting with negative. You got to do some type of positive because at the end of the day, I'm going to call your parent. Okay, I don't even care that you call my mom anymore.
No more.
So with us in Queens, we tell our story. We're not afraid to tell our story. I think I just told mine for the first time last mm-hmm. session. And it's not hard, but it was hard divulging that to some teenage girls mm-hmm. who don't even, teenage girls can be very judgmental. They're like, well, oh my God. Like,
right.
You know, what they're ready for. Actually, I divulged two stories. So, but that opened.
I think that's the day I came in and all y'all was crying. So I just turned around and
So I think them knowing who we truly are, like, I'm not just about to be out here just telling my business. I'm telling you this because I want you to be better. I want you to do better. I want you to just know that you're not alone in what you're going through or what you mm-hmm. may go through.
That was something, Courtney, and this has been such a different, I think Gabe, you know, y'all know Gabe back there. This is such a different conversation with the guys. But one of the things Courtney brought up was, man, just give them a hug. Like, these kids are not being loved anywhere, or they're being loved in a way that somebody thinks is love, and it's really not.
Right.
So it's being shown in, you know, parents saying stuff like, I feed you every day. But they ain't had a hug, if ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or I love you. Like, you know how many times in the Black community that you don't hear, I love you. It's the work.
That's why we play our song.
It's the works of action. Yeah, those works of action as a parent are great, but I love you. Like, mm-hmm. I love you. And like you said, hugging. Like, we don't do that. We
don't know what physical touches are.
Positive physical touch. Like, you know, you touch some of them, they're like, what's wrong? Like,
I make my girls uncomfortable every session.
Yeah, like I'm just showing you love. This is just affection, guys, right. You know. So
I think another thing we do, too, is we talk to them and not at them. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that matters, too, because, like you said, if you're in school all day, your teachers are talking at you. Your parents may be talking at you when you walk in the door. As a mom, I know I catch myself like, wait a minute, reel it in sometimes. So I think we talk to them. And I think, too, we give them silent time. Like, so Moha introduced us to a song and we ask them how they feel about stuff, too. Absolutely. And they get that chance to say how they feel about something. So that creates another safe space. But that You Are Love song, and it literally, the whole song is not a long song. And literally the whole thing is she's basically just saying, know that you are loved even when you don't love yourself. Mm-hmm. So we allowed them that time just to meditate on it. Like, allowed them, like, we're not talking to them at that time. We're not asking them to do anything but listen to it. And then how did that make you feel?
Right. And then you'll be surprised at the range of different in case somebody want to use that.
Oh, what is that baby's name?
Something Soul. I'll find it.
Okay.
But also because we let them ask questions. Yes. Like, you know, to us though. Uh-huh. You know, we're open about our stories, and then in that same sentence we allow them to ask us about anything that went on, how we felt. Just how to move past it, when to move past it. And I think them being able to access stuff creates the relationship as well, because they don't sit in the same moments and they want to know. Like, they want to know.
They ask all the questions. They will ask you where you work, where you live, mm-hmm. are you married, do you have kids, are you pregnant? They will ask.
Are you pregnant?
You know how many times I had to explain my relationship to my kids? I don't have one. Leave me alone.
You 37.
Right. Everybody's 60. What was I? I'm 53 yesterday. You 53.
I'm
53. Like, yeah.
Oh, but that song is Cleo Soul. Know That You Are Loved by Cleo Soul. S-O-L.
All right, gang. Let's make sure we put that up on the screen.
I think it might be good for the boys, too. We
got it with the boys.
Always one.
We cool, not playing.
But even after, like, they've had a rough time where they haven't been listening or haven't been doing what they're supposed to do, hearing that phrase, I love you. Like, I might be a little mad at you right now, but I still love you. Come give me a hug.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'll see you next week.
Right.
even hearing that is important to let them know. I might be upset at the moment, but I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at your actions.
Your actions. Yeah, that's and that's rejection
because they're waiting for somebody to leave or to not be consistent. They're like, a lot of times they've been used to losing a lot. You know, whatever's in their household, they may only have one parent, so they're used to like the inconsistency with people staying around. So that's important to reiterate that. I still love you.
I'm a beaver.
Even when you're not acting like you're supposed to be acting. Right. It's not you.
So going off of what you said, I still love you. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes a lot of our children are labeled already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this just brought up something. Oh, that boy bad. Mm-hmm. Is he really bad, or is he just not getting what he needs? Like, I've seen so many.
Even with parents, you like your dad. Girl, or you like your mom? Come on,
that's yeah.
When you already That'll don't do like it. That,
you
parent
already don't
anyway.
Like that. You just like your daddy. What, the daddy that left you with me? Like
the one
you
that
mean?
You don't like.
The one that you don't like.
Oh, so you don't like me?
So you don't like me?
Oh, okay.
You look just like your daddy.
Well, oh, do I?
I hear how you talk about
you
him.
You told him he was an ugly something.
Right. So that's how you feel about me?
So I'm ugly.
So okay,
bet.
So these kids get these labels and they hear these things that parents say, and like you said, at the end of the day, you tell them, I still love you. It's your action that I don't care for. It's not you. And I don't think our children hear that a lot. And I can say I can bear witness to that they don't hear that a lot. It's not you. It's your action. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we need more affirmation in that you are still good. You are not bad. You're not, you know, you're a little troubled, but, you know, this it can all be worked with.
Yeah.
Do y'all think, or do y'all find that, and I know what it is with the boys, I can't say I've taken a deep look into it with the girls, the lack of either a fatherless home or the lack of relationship with their fathers that play into some of the challenges.
Oh man, what's the saying go? When a father should be the first person a daughter falls in love with, and they're gonna determine whether it's gonna be a good love or a bad love. Most of them are bad loves.
Wow.
So therefore, what happens is you've already experienced that your first heartbreak.
Yeah.
At 2-3 years old from your daddy, you know. So therefore, you grow up looking for that love literally in all the wrong places. So I think absolutely. I'm not going to say all, but a majority of it comes from the father.
And so you look for everybody to fail for you.
Yep. To abandon you.
Or you just look for your father in every person, every male relationship that you have. You look for what you were missing in that relationship.
Yeah. Baby, I said that on Facebook today.
You're looking for something. And at that age, you don't even know what
you don't know what you're looking for.
So when it comes to, like, we talked about the pressures of your physical body. Like, this is what I have to offer you.
Yep.
So this is what I will give you.
Or I used to see my dad yell at my mom all the time and raise his hand. So, I fight him back. I mean, what?
Or like you said, what does a healthy love look like?
Yeah.
What is a healthy conversation or a healthy disagreement look like?
Ooh, that part.
Mm-hmm. What does that look like?
Yeah. So I think to answer your question, I think a good love with a male person plays a lot into it.
I think the older I get, like year after year, I see thing after thing where I'm like, I'm so glad I had my dad. Mm-hmm. No matter where our relationship stood, whether I didn't like him at the time or whether we were together all the time. But I am so grateful because there are some things that I won't accept.
Yeah.
Come on.
That people can't do to me.
And he taught you that, right?
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Not even necessarily with words, but just with actions.
Yeah.
Just simple.
Good or bad. Because there's some bad things you'd be like,
Yes.
Let me know because you remind me of something. That, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
Mm. So what would you all say to, let's say a dad is listening to this and has, so I think we hear a lot that a lot of times the lack of relationship with the kid is because the parents, who are probably not married or divorced or whatever, don't know how to have healthy disagreements, and all of that stuff falls into the kid where they feel abandoned, dad is not around. You know, and this is, you know, I say this all the time, Akron is not a huge city. So it's very possible to not see your dad on a regular basis and bump into him at the mall or the grocery store. Or our west side, the east side, is a 10 to 12 minute ride. So, you know, what do you say to a father? Like, I think we talk about it enough, especially when it comes to our boys, but what do we say to a father, the impact of his absence is on a young lady?
To a father, I would say presence. I think sometimes as single moms, you like, well, I think they want financial and presence. For me, I have always been that person. I would rather have your presence there than your financial need. Mm-hmm. I can do this. My child needs you, especially for a little girl or a father watching this at this very moment. Your daughter needs you. Would you want your daughter to date you? So if you can answer that question and say yes, kudos to you. If deep down you be like, man, I wish my daughter would run into me, that means you got a lot of work to do, bruh.
Wow.
So would you be okay with your daughter dating you? So that's my.
Well, that just sums it up. We're all done here.
I mean,
mic drop.
I would say, not just to the fathers, but to the parents of that child. Like, mom has to be willing to.
Here we go. Right.
A lot, what I experience is, dad may want to be there, but mom might be a headache, and he like, I'd rather not deal with none of that. And that's not always the case. That is not always the case.
But it's a reality.
But
mom has to be willing. Both parents have to be willing. But, you know, don't withhold your child because you're feeling away or you feel like as a mother you're not getting what you need from that dad. If he is willing to be present. Mm-hmm. And then I think for the dad, I would say get to know your daughter. Try not to overcomplicate it, because I feel like I had conversations with my dad in my adulthood, and we had a very broken relationship But then I was able to come to him and want to heal because I forgave. But there was a lot of things that I was saying. He was like, I had no idea you felt like that. Right. I had no idea you needed that. I had no idea. I had no idea. So I think get to know your daughter and just be realistic with what the time you have. If you work, whatever the case may be, make sure you cut out. If it's one time every 2 weeks, be consistent and make sure you make that a priority. If you say, I can get you here and there, be consistent in that, whatever the time frame is, be consistent in that. And I think that'll automatically build a relationship. If she know my dad coming to get me on Saturday at 12, go get her Saturday at 12. Be there Saturday at 12. Don't make her feel like she's the last on your priority. Mm-hmm. Or not she, but your child, the last on her priority list. So I think parents just try to have that willingness and then just get to know your child and that consistency. However much you can show up, show up.
Yes.
So, let's have a little bit of fun. The craziest thing that happened at Queens Academy.
Oh, Lord. Oh, I got one. At the Airbnb.
Well, that wasn't us, though. So,
But you should have seen how they came running down, like, oh, my God.
Well, you got to tell them what they found.
I'm like, okay, wait a minute.
At the sleepover we mentioned, we had the girls over. We did an Airbnb. This is not any of our girls who did this. But they found some marijuana and ran downstairs, like a trail of them running down. We found it. Like, we were like, what? Because, you know, we had to investigate. Tamika, that's what mom activated real quick. She said, now, don't have us calling these people.
One of y'all broke this.
So that was funny. I feel like that's the craziest thing that I could think of.
And I missed it because I was downstairs getting my massage.
They found it.
I'm like, what is going on? I'm trying to relax. I'm listening. We ready to fuss. I'm like, who's this? So much noise.
What else happened?
Let's qualify the massages. So don't know. I think that was nothing crazy going on. The Ty grown. The kids is playing with marijuana and stuff. It can get convoluted. I'm gonna have my program shut down.
No.
We had a guest.
We had a guest that came to teach the young ladies about self-care. Yes. Right. And so they got hand and palm massages or something like that. Arms. Yeah. And then, which I did, facials or something like that or something?
For some, I think there was a choice if they wanted it.
Okay. Yeah, it was different choices.
So, folks, that's all it was for y'all. You know.
It was just a self-care.
Yeah.
The marijuana exercise had nothing to do with it.
No. And it was, again, it wasn't nobody's marijuana in the house.
Ours.
Yeah, it did not belong
to y'all because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
What's the craziest question y'all been asked?
Oh, Lord.
Man.
You married?
That ain't crazy.
No, you could have seen how they asked. Like, I was just...
They were surprised. Okay.
Oh, my God. I don't know. Because it always depends on the session and then the kid. Because...
Yes.
Like, our kids... Like, the kids that are here now, we have about 4 girls that are super comfortable with us. Yeah. Like, super comfortable with us. And so, they ask and they do... just some of the weirdest things. One of them is my niece, but I can't, like, it's funny having my nieces there because they still, you know, they don't go auntie all the time and I can't go auntie on them. So it's like, I don't know.
I don't feel like we got crazy questions. We get deep questions more than crazy. So that's usually like we'll be in a session talking and they'll drop something heavy and we're like, whoa,
I gotta think.
Wait a minute.
Well,
so
when
you say deep questions, are these questions that you would say they wish they could ask their mother or father?
Absolutely.
Right. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Or they're speaking about something that they have been through and they're in a space now where they feel like they want to talk about that thing. They, like, you know, it could be something that they happened in their childhood and they're in a space now where the conversation just is flowing and they're like, well, what do you do? Oh, you know what? It wasn't a crazy question, but it was a deep question. It was basically like, how do you forgive someone who violated you?
Yeah.
So that was like a deep question. And we were in a group setting even. And, you know, one of our girls felt comfortable enough to ask, but it like changed the tone because it was like, wow, like that's a really...
Yeah. I mean, we're not God-based. And I think we started getting our first God conversations like in our last session. Like our girls started asking us about how to... form a relationship with God, like even about being baptized, and you know, we were like, oh, okay, like this what we talking about, let's go and let's roll with it. So we were surprised that because we didn't, I don't think we even asked them about that or said anything to them, but they were, it was such a conversation for that group. I love our TikToks. I think the girls are into them.
Quick plug, if you're not following us on TikTok, where did TikTok be at?
Was it? On TikTok.
On TikTok. And on Facebook.
It's her doing Instagram. The TikTok dance.
Dreams Academy on TikTok.
Oh. Dream USA?
No, it's right now it's still Dreams Academy, I think.
On TikTok?
Yeah. Okay. But make sure you
don't try and play me like I'm old.
We did. You just said, where did we at? Okay,
I'm sorry.
But make sure, do follow the Instagram, We Dream USA.
Thank you. Thank you, Ari.
I think sometimes with the girls, with what we do is we kind of talk about things, but we kind of let them guide.
We let them lead. And I think because like what you said earlier is that we are open books pretty much with obviously a child level open book. But we talk about it. If they say, if I've been through that or I can, you know what I mean?
Well,
I
here,
think that's
here
why
go.
They will drop whatever out of their mouth because they know we won't shame them for saying it. If it's something that their parents need to know, that's a conversation. But a lot of times it's just, I've never said this before, or I'm struggling with this. Right
and we
now.
Do let them know that it is an open forum. You are, unless it's something to do with you harming yourself or somebody else, obviously we have to let your parents know. But I mean, what happens here stays here, you know? So we try to let them know that this is just us. Like, it's just us and we'll help you through it.
I think that's what builds it, though, like us saying to them and them knowing that if the conversation happens here, unless it's like deep enough that we got to take it out, it does actually stay here. Mm-hmm. So when they come back next week, regardless, we give them highs and lows. So they're allowed to do their roses and thorns. Roses and thorns is just actually their moment of telling me something good, telling me something that happened that wasn't so good. We require them to always have a good. And even if they don't have a bad, because the point is to always find something good in your day, because we can talk about all the bad stuff all day long. Like, we get it. It was terrible. But find something good. Pinpoint something that is good. And our main one is that we woke up because you didn't have to wake up. Right. So we always tell them if that's what you need to say. But now we've put restrictions on it. They can only say it what?
Twice.
You can't tell me every week you woke up. Yes, you woke up. We're happy you woke up.
I mean, you did.
Yeah, but there's something
else. Something else is good about you.
Exactly. Twice. Exactly.
Like, we know you woke up. You're here.
Yeah.
Like, good job. So, I think just creating those moments, it gives them a chance to just grow with us. And I think that's why we keep getting our girls that come back, you know.
Our OGs.
Yeah.
One girl, old bully. Listen. I'm coming back. And she came back.
I was happy when I seen them come in. I think y'all are crazy. And then I feel like they mess with us on the first day. And they actually are mean. But it's like
that's
a love.
So mean.
They be messing with us on purpose.
They be like, mean.
But when you know, like they notice stuff about you, you know. Like they, as much as we invest in them, they invest in us. They get excited. Because baby, when I tell y'all walked in and she was like, oh, you trying to lose weight? Hey, play with somebody else.
She said, oh, you know I gotta mess with you on the first day. I miss you. I'm like, this is how you act when you miss me. And I miss you.
Mean.
You don't wanna hug me or nothing. She like, you know I gotta.
No, we just talked about that. They don't know what
to
hug.
Yeah.
So we tell jokes.
I'm so like, they just
on.
Mean.
We tell jokes. It's funny to see them like to let their walls down because they all come in. That's my favorite thing. Seeing them all sit away from each other or avoid eye contact, and but then by the sleepover it's like,
no, my thing,
they dancing all night.
My thing is seeing the tough girl come in. Ooh. I don't want to be here. Girl, by the end.
By the end.
We'll all make a bet, like, how long it's going to take to break this one down.
Yeah,
like,
we own it.
We own it.
We own it.
By week three.
Yep. Week done. Three.
Yeah, putty in our hands. Let's go.
So, we like a challenge.
This was an experience.
What does that mean?
No, this was dope for me to hear, you know. It's not that I can't come. I just want everybody to be comfortable. So I often feel like my presence would.
They would like to see your pop-ups every now and
then. Yeah, I just pop up and wave and say, hey, y'all, and stuff. But, you know, when y'all get deep, you know, like, no lie, I remember that very vividly. I walked into the session and just, everybody was crying. I said, yep, I'll just see y'all next week. There's no need to interrupt it. So let them go wherever they were going. And so, this was very eye-opening, and I'm very thrilled. We started Queens Academy in 2021 in the summer. And they have just been pushing full steam ahead ever since. And it's been a joy to watch it develop, to add people to the team and watch them do their thing and really impact a generation of young ladies. So I'm grateful to all of you for all that you do. Y'all know me, I start crying like a mother. We gonna stop
Go
there.
Ahead, let it flow.
No. I really, really, really do appreciate y'all. And the time, not only just the time you put in to just to show up, but the time you put in to tell your own stories and the time you put in to really guide these young ladies so that they value themselves and do all the other positive things that we want them to do. And so in regard to this platform, I did this for our white teachers that may be listening, that just want some more insight on our community, on some of the things that go on in the community that our kids are coming to school with, that many of them are. I'm grateful that we get the kids that we get and give them a platform and an avenue to get some of this stuff out. So hopefully it leads to healing. But there's a whole generation of other kids that don't get this opportunity and they're in your classroom. So if you could take anything from this to use to really help, especially a urban African-American child out, I really want you to take this information to heart. And if y'all got any last words, go ahead for it now.
Mine is just love on them. Just love on them. That's my last words.
We got 7 more weeks. Sign your girls up. Don't miss out.
If you in Akron, Canton, Cleveland, Twinsburg, Stowe, Hudson, Alliance.
Cuyahoga Falls.
If you in the neighborhood, come see us. Get registered at dreamsacademy.life. If you're listening to this and you're not in the area, just go to our website so you can see. Go to the Instagram for sure. That's where the TikToks or whatever are at.
Sorry, what was that about earlier? What's that Instagram handle again?
We Dream USA, right?
Yeah.
Did I say it wrong?
No.
Oh, We Dream.
You said go to the Instagram. What's the Instagram?
Oh, it's going to be on the screen. We professional around here. They ain't going to have it done. They're going to get it right. Across the screen is going to say, but to your point, I got to say it because everybody don't watch the YouTube, which is also go to the YouTube, Dear White Teacher, on YouTube and subscribe so you can see all this fun stuff. You can see how awkwardly I'm sitting in front of all these women listening to all this today. But I had a blast and I had a great time, so I appreciate y'all. Another episode down. Thank y'all for tuning in and see you next time. Peace.